My wife will tell you that I always vote for skipping Christmas. But I am glad to be here to talk about Christ, because that's really what Christmas is all about. So while I'm a bit of a Scrooge in the household, I do understand what Christ is about, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be together and to share what Christmas is all about. As I was thinking about what I would speak about tonight, I thought to myself, there's probably going to be a number of people here, and some people have probably heard the Christmas message for years and years, and other people are probably new to Christianity or just learning about Christianity, and I thought I'll try to bring something that will be helpful to everyone who's here. I'll help us just to understand a little bit about what is Christmas about, why are we so excited about it. I sensed joy tonight as the singing. There was good singing. There was even free Wilkshire comments at the end of some of the songs. People are laughing and smiling. It is the Christmas season. And I hope also that tonight will be a call on all of us to a call to worship Christ, because really that's what Christmas is about. Is it's a reminder of us to worship Christ, not just to know what happened. And as we think about Christmas, what it is it's a celebration of the birth of Christ, that Christ has come to earth. And we don't really celebrate Christ because he came, but what he came to do, who he is, and what difference does it make for us. I'm just going to read a little bit out of the Bible, the story of the birth of Jesus. Some very familiar text to us out of Matthew. He says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph before they had come together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" So it's a story that you could imagine was a surprise to Joseph. He's engaged to a girl named Mary, and before they've come together, before they've been married, suddenly she's found to be pregnant. And he's not very happy at all about this development, because he does not know where this pregnancy came from. And so he decides that he will just turn off the engagement, break up, and they can each go their own ways. But then we hear that a miraculous thing happens. An angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and has a message for him. And the message is don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child that she has comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle of God that she is going to be having a baby. And the angel says the baby that she's going to have will not be a daughter, but will be a son. And when she has that son, you're not going to give him any name you want, like Frank or Bob or Luke. You're going to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So from the very beginning, even before Jesus was born, it was already known the purpose for which Jesus was coming. He was coming on a mission to save people from their sins. And that's very similar also to what we hear when Jesus was born. On the account of Jesus being born, we have in the book of Luke, Luke writes that as Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. So the birth of Christ actually was a very humble beginnings for this person who is going to save people from their sins. There was nothing spectacular about it. It actually came about under circumstances that were not ideal. For reasons of a census that everyone had to be written down in the town where they came from. Boy, that'd be pretty tough if we had to do that, wouldn't it? People would be flying all over the world. Everyone went to their hometown to be registered, and Joseph goes there with his betrothed, Mary, and she gives birth not in the comfort of her own home, not with her own mother, but actually in circumstances that are very humble. And it says that she laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So it almost sounds like there was a proper place that would have been at least a little better, but they weren't even able to have the baby there. And a manger is a place where people put food for animals. So definitely a humble beginning. And imagine it. They know who the baby is, and they're wondering, what's up with this? This is how the beginning is it? But the story doesn't end there. It goes on to say, in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And again, here we have God bringing attention to the birth of Christ. Out of all the people on earth, God sends an angel to shepherds, lowly people who are out spending their night in the flock. While everyone else is sitting around their home with their family, here they are out in the cold, the wet, the weather, the smell. It probably isn't real fun to be out there camping with sheep. And those are the people that God chose to reveal a special message. And he says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And I like that. The angel only came to the shepherds, but the message he had wasn't for the shepherds. It was for all people. And there are a lot of different peoples in the world today. There's a lot of different places, a lot of different languages, a lot of different cultures, a lot of different skin colors, a lot of different ideas about life and living. But we heard that the person who was born that day was born for all people. So if you consider yourself a person, the Bible says that Christ has come for you. He also says, is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, there's a couple words in here and a couple things that I'm thinking about. And I'm thinking, you know, to some people, this might not make a lot of sense. We heard that he shall save his people from their sins. And we've heard that a Savior has come. But some people might say, what do I need saved from? Why do I need a Savior? What is sin? And what we find is that when we open up the Bible has answers to problems that we don't even know we have. It talks and addresses issues that we may not think are issues. God is like a good doctor who tells us what we need, not what we want to hear, not maybe what we are feeling. And the Bible actually is addressing something that you may be unaware of. You may think, I don't need a Savior. I don't need someone to take care of my sins. Yes, that would be a wrong attitude. The Bible would lead us away from that. The Bible actually begins with the word, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And to understand anything about Christ, we must understand, first of all, that we exist because we were created by a God who existed before everything and who is beyond the universe. Just think about that. When it says God existed before beyond the universe, what I mean is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That means, where was God before he created the heavens? Well, like people say, where's God now? And they say he's everywhere, he's on earth, he's in heaven. Well, he was actually somewhere before he created the heavens and the earth. He is, I want to speak in a different language now. He's a land unto himself where he is. He exists in his own power, apart from the universe that we have. And obviously, we as Christians would think that the secular worldview is a most ridiculous idea. The secular worldview basically is the universe is all that is, all that was, and all that ever will be. We look at that and we say, nah, doesn't make sense. There's a rather famous conversation happened from a few people in America. There's a famous atheist called Carl Sagan. He was walking around saying the cosmos is all it is, all it was, and all that ever will be. And a theologian asked him, "Mr. Sagan, I have a question for you. You say that the universe is all that is, all that was, and all that ever will be." He said to them, "If matter and the cosmos were all compressed into a tiny little spot before the Big Bang, what caused on some Tuesday afternoon that little spot to blow up? Because matter that is not moving remains not moving." And you know what Carl Sagan said? He said, "I don't want to go there." And for us, we say, no, the beginning of Christmas, the beginning of Christianity is an understanding that we are created by God. It's also an understanding that we understand that we do feel a sinfulness in ourselves. We realize a guiltiness in our own lives. And when I say sin in ourselves, I don't think we have to belabor the point. All of us at times do things to the people we love that are unloving, and afterwards we feel guilty. We are belittling our family, our friends, our fellow human beings. But how much greater is our sin against the one who made us? Imagine, for example, you have a metal screwdriver in your pocket, and you go to the scrapyard where they're crushing cars, and you scrape the car. I don't think the guy's going to matter, because he's going to take the whole car, he's going to put it in his crusher, and that's the end of it. But what about if you take that same screwdriver and you walk into the Woolies parking lot and you start carving up a few cars? You're probably going to be in pretty big trouble. What if the chief of police comes up with his new $5 million Bugatti and you say, I think you realize that your guilt and your problem is going to be much greater with the person that is offended. And here we realize that the one we have offended and belittled is the eternal, all-powerful, everywhere present, all-knowing ruler of the universe, God Almighty. We have belittled him at the times where we have not treated him with the respect and the reverence that are due him. We belittle him when we treasure and enjoy the things of the world more than the one who gave them to us. We know we're guilty and we need forgiveness. We also realize that the Bible talks about that there's an accountability with God. The Bible talks about that God does judge sin and takes sin seriously. The sin of Adam and Eve, they sinned one time and they lost the precious fellowship that they had in the Garden of Eden with their Creator. The story of the flood. People talk about climate change. I'll tell you what the Bible says about climate change. Men sinned and God changed the climate very drastically. And only 8 people remained alive. Now that is serious climate change. And that came about not because of people driving around in diesel trucks and cars. It came around because of sin. We also see in stories of Sodom and Gomorrah that God allowed people to go on in their sins for a long time. But in the end, he did judge sins. And all that reminds us that we have sinned many times and we are under the condemnation of God if we remain in our sins. And that's what makes Christmas so special to us. That's why when we hear the words, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from our sins," we get excited and we say, yes, we have a person who can save us from our sins. That's why when we hear the words, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord," we say, yes, we believe in the Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the Bible clearly teaches us that it is through Christ that we receive forgiveness of sins. It's through him that we can come back into friendship with God. In Galatians, Paul wrote, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons." When we hear of Christ coming to earth, we need to know it was God and his plan that Christ came to earth. And the purpose of his plan was not to condemn us, but to save us through Christ. Christ came to redeem us who were under the law, under guilt. When you hear when the words under the law, that means there's probably a law that we have broken. And Christ has come to redeem us, to set us free, so that we might receive adoption as sons, that we might be the adopted sons and daughters of God, forgiven and in His kingdom forever. And Paul also wrote, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, blessing, bestowing His riches on those who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The message of Christmas is a message of invitation to us to call on the Lord and be saved through Jesus Christ. For Christmas to be of any benefit to us, we must be those who call unto Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will never perish. Believe on Him and you will have the full and complete participation in perfect salvation. You will receive the perfect payment of sins and the perfect ending of the anger and displeasure of God directed towards us because of our sin. We will receive deliverance from death, of hell, and of Satan, and everlasting life with Him. Jesus said while He was on earth, I am the bread of life. He is the one who gives spiritual life, just as we eat bread for physical life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Are you walking in that light today? He is our light when we trust and hope in Him. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. That means is that Jesus said, anyone who will go through me can enter the kingdom of God and receive eternal life and forgiveness. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. Jesus said He's the good shepherd who does not run away from difficulty, but He actually dies so that His sheep can have life. And that is the message of Christianity, that Christ has died for us and died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. That is a fundamental understanding of what Christ has done for us. And not only died, but He's risen again. So when we say, call on the name of the Lord and be saved, we're not asking you to call on a dead man, but a living man who's risen and defeated death. Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And if you ignore Christ, you will not come to the Father. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he will live. Giving us the promise that all those who have put their faith in Christ will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine, we are branches, and when we are connected with Christ, we have true life. I want to leave you with one final thought. When you hear these things that Jesus said, I'll give you three choices. Jesus was either a liar who was making all this up, or he was just a crazy man who thought he was someone who he wasn't, or he was the Lord whom we should believe in. When you read the Bible, you really can't believe Jesus was just a good teacher. No. Choose this day. Is he a liar? Is he a crazy man? Or is he the Christ? Well, I firmly believe that he is the Christ. And that's why I say to each one of us, let us turn to the Savior and call on the Savior and believe in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. Christmas is a great time. I'm a Scrooge, but you know what? I'm just excited again as I hear the message of Christmas, and I hope everyone who's thought about this and hears it considers again, what do you know about Christ and where do you stand with Christ? What I've said today, I think, is just a little taster. It's a little appetizer. If anyone wants to know more, pick up a Bible. There's lots of them around. We'll give you one if you want one. Start with the book of Mark. Read through it. Ask questions. I just really appreciate the Word of God and what it has to say to us. And I would hope that everyone who's here also will find time in your life to realize what the real Christmas message is about. That it's about a Savior who's come and saves us from our sins. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for your word. And we give you thanks for Christ, that you in your mercy have sent him to save people from their sins. Lord, we realize you did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. And Lord, we are the sinners. And Lord, we call on you. And we pray for those who are hearing this word that your Spirit will be at work in their lives and that they will call upon you and get serious about what you think matters most. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.